I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I don't have any memory whatsoever of my baptism. I was 5 months old, and apparently I slept through the whole thing. I do remember the baptisms of my three boys, but my memories are more of making sure everything was ready, of hoping they wouldn't cry too much during the service, and hosting parties afterwards. Not much of the actual services stuck in my mind, and even the pictures we have are of preparations and parties, not of the baptisms themselves. I do remember being past the first child I was to baptise as a newly ordained curate. I remember the sudden, rather unexpected sense of responsibility I felt for this little bundle of humanity. Responsibility for bringing her before God as his child, of saying those words so many better people than I had said so many times through the long history of the church. I baptise you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I also remember the even more frightening responsibility I felt of holding this really rather wriggly little bundle in her slippery satin christening gown over a marble font several feet above a stone floor, but that's a different story. I wonder if you remember your baptism. If, like me, you were baptised as a young child, probably not. If you were older, if you chose baptism for yourself, you may have much clearer recollections. However or whenever you were baptised, your baptism still counts, and it is important we remember this. You are a child of God. You have been washed and made clean. You have been clothed in Christ, and you have died to sin, that you might live Christ's new risen life. It's rather strange to think of Jesus' baptisms in these terms, isn't it? He was already God's son. He was not a sinner like the rest of us, and he had no need to die for sin, nor, at least in the sense that we do, did he need a new birth. So what on earth was he up to? That was the question that it seems John the Baptist had in his mind also, as he watched Jesus approach him on the bank of the Jordan and realized what he was there for. John, the fiery and rather strange preacher, who stood day by day, knee high in the waters of the Jordan, who was always so strong and determined and confident, stands a little shaken and confused. Why would Jesus want to be baptized? Baptism is about the washing away of sins, but Jesus is without sin. In fact, he came to redeem us from our sins, to cleanse us by his death. John knew this. He knew why he was baptizing all those people, and he knew it made no sense that Jesus should be among them. In fact, John's response, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" is perfectly understandable. And yet, Jesus insisted. He said it was important to fulfill all righteousness. He said it was the right thing to do, even though to John it made no sense at all. So John baptized Jesus. He did this thing that made no sense, perhaps in part because sometimes God does ask people to do things that make no sense, like carrying a child conceived by the Holy Spirit, or marrying the woman carrying that child, or taking the whole family to Egypt just because of a dream. But then again, perhaps in a way it does make sense, because there are many times when the Son of God stands in solidarity with humankind. The Son of God reminds us that he is also the Son of Man, that being a part of our broken and human world, being God incarnate, means he will participate fully in human life. If humankind need to be washed by the waters of baptism, then he will be washed too. Does he need cleansing from sin? No, of course not. But he participates in the right to share with those who do. Us, children of God, for whom he had and has so much love that he was prepared to lay down his life. So, in his baptism, we see Jesus' acceptance of what he is and what he will be in his earthly ministry. We recognize an obedience to God's ordinances and a recognition of John's own ministry. There is also in this story a manifestation of the Trinity. Jesus, the Son, entering into his journey to the cross, the Spirit descending to strengthen and guide him, and the Father's voice, recognizing him as his own, the beloved, with whom he is well pleased. Jesus' baptism marked the beginning of his public ministry, the start of a long and often painful journey, a journey whose earthly ending on the cross Jesus fears, as we hear in the Garden of Gethsemane. But the journey itself brings with it the strength to reach its ending. The Spirit does not descend at baptism and then leave. It is part of the journey, a part of the story of our salvation. And the Father's voice is not silenced. It declares again in Matthew's account of the Transfiguration, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased." For us also, our baptism was the beginning of a journey. Introducing the baptism service, Common Worship says, "Baptism marks the beginning of a journey with God, which continues through the rest of our lives, the first step in response to God's love." Baptism is, for Christians, what circumcision is for the Jews, the mark of covenant. It is what sets us apart as the people of God and disciples of Jesus Christ. It makes no difference whether we were baptized by sprinkling, pouring, or immersing. It's not the amount of water that's important or how it's applied. What is important is the love of God, who gave his only begotten Son to redeem us and reconcile us to himself. A God who does not forget his promises, who does not break his covenant. This doesn't mean our lives are charmed, that God's hand will save us from every worry, every difficult experience. No, the changes and chances of this fleeting world will still weary us. We will face the bad as much as anyone else. Life will present us with as many downs as ups, and often it will feel like the downs are winning. What it does mean is that we do not make this journey alone. Baptism is not an inoculation against sickness and death, accidents or other misfortune, but it is a reassurance that, come what may, God will be with us to give us the grace we need to overcome any adversity. As our journeying takes us into another year, remember that you do not travel alone. God is with you before and behind, in you, beneath and above, on your right and on your left. Remember that Jesus has traveled this road before you, and be comforted that he travels it again now with you, with each of us. That we who are baptized may be cleansed in the water of life and filled with the Holy Spirit, we may know that we are loved as God's children, safe in Christ forever. Amen.